Marvel needs to go. Disney needs to go buy Sony right now. Yeah, they need to go buy Sony. They need to take Spider-Man back and all of this Spider-Man content back, because Sony's just making it awful. We're all punished for it. Yeah,
nobody gets to enjoy Spider-Man because these freaking monopolies won't allow it.
And it's Sony's just killing
Spider-Man. Welcome to the Movie Dads Podcast with your host Howie and Kyle.
Not as bad. Welcome back to the Movie Dads Podcast. We're your hosts. I'm Howie.
I'm Kyle.
Not. Is Kyle, and we are back for episode number 37 of the Movie Dads Podcast.
Crazy.
The 2024 Sony Marvel Spider-Verse
movie
film.
Yeah. If you want to call it that.
Madam Web.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It is. I'm looking forward to this episode. I'm looking forward to talking about Madam Web.
I am excited that we finally have an episode and a movie that we get to pass the baton off to from last year's movie that we'll get into. We'll talk about it at some point. So,
yeah, absolutely. But if you're watching this on YouTube, please click that like and subscribe. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. Click that bell. If you're not watching us on YouTube, hopefully you're listening to us on one of the many podcast platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Podcast Index. You can also find some of our short clips and videos on social media at Movie Dads Pod on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. Per the usual, as we are movie dads. We have movie kits. I don't have a ton this week. Most of mine has been centered around the things we've already talked about multiple weeks in a row. Basketball and show choir and things like that. Reagan and I did sit down and watched another one of my all-time favorite movies the other night. We watched L.A. Confidential, which is a great old Hollywood crime procedural.
What a word, procedural.
Procedural. but it's if you've never seen it, it is a masterpiece of filmmaking. It was made in the 90s. So it's kind of Kevin Spacey, Russell Crowe, Guy Pearce, or your like trio of cops that the story kind of centers around. And this was before any of them were really anything, right? Like even Kevin Spacey wasn't big yet, but and it was one of those movies that I hadn't seen in probably a few years, and I had forgotten how complicated it was in the story, because the story is all over the place. It's one of those movies like you have to be laser focused on what's going on with the story, paying attention to every twist and turn and whatnot, because it all ties together at the end. And she was lost. She was like, she's like, I have no idea who this person is. I don't know what's going on. What are they talking about? Who's the dead guy? And I'm like, I kept having to pause it and like, okay, remember when? Okay, remember back like half an hour ago? Okay, remember when this happened at the beginning? She liked it, but it was too much.
That's too much
for her. It was funny.
I'm with her. Sometimes that movie can feel like there's a lot of red line or just red strings. What's that meme where you're like trying to put everything together? There's a lot going on. So
yeah, trying to connect it all. Like, so there was that. Other than that though, really, I mean, we spent a lot of the week last week celebrating, you know, a lot of football related stuff. You know, we spent time watching the Super Bowl and back to back world champions, Kansas City Chiefs champs again. So anyway, what do you got?
All right, let's jump into my week. We're in the thick of school year. So like we're not running around to sports as much or anything, at least right now we're not. But Valentine's Day, Parker was very excited this week because he got to make Dad a Valentine's Day bracelet.
Oh, heck yeah.
So it's literally made out of like the wire piping and little beads. And I don't know why, but when he gave it to me, when I showed up, it was like, I'm going to wear that for the rest of my life. and he had made himself a matching one, which I thought him and I were going to have them together forever, but he wore his while he slept in the first night and destroyed it. So, but mine's still holding strong. Grayson, at school, they do like the Valentine's Day boxes, and which wasn't a thing when I was a kid. We never like made a Valentine's box to you have people put your Valentine's. Yes.
That was it. That's all you brought. Yeah.
Yeah. And we never decorated it. Like now when I think about it, I don't remember doing that at all. And
maybe a piece of construction paper.
Yeah. That maybe like drawing on the box.
Yeah. That's but, it. Yeah.
So everyone for the most part gets pretty elaborate with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Stephanie pretty much takes the lead on it because she's like our crafty person. She can do t-shirts and design and stuff. And for whatever reason, Grayson was like, I want a TIE fighter this year. Was like adamant on getting a TIE fighter. So they made him this big, freaking massive TIE fighter that Grayson and Parker have both been playing with since Valentine's Day as like a ship
pretty dope.
In the house.
It was pretty awesome.
Huge. So yeah. Grayson was super excited about that. So
did you see Dez's?
I didn't. I was going to ask you, what did you guys do?
Because it was Travis Kelce's jersey.
Oh, of course it was.
I printed out every patch and logo and everything, little Nike patches for the, and even the shield and the like AFC patch. I had them all.
Love that. Love that for him.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you love it.
Yeah. I'm assuming you had sent him, but like, I think the first day I saw him after the game, he was wearing his Travis Kelce jersey and like came into my house to say, "Hey, Kyle, what's up, Dez?" I ran upstairs. "What's up, dude?" My dad said, or what did he say? Fuck. He was like, "My dad asked how you thought the game went or something, or asked you what you thought of the game." I was like, "Get the fuck out of my house." And so,
didn't you make money on it?
Yeah, I did make money on it. So that
it hurt. It hurt though, didn't it?
I have figured out for me, and I was just talking with someone about this, like, I will make stupid bets by putting money on teams that I want to win because I'm rooting for them or fighters or whatever it is. And typically when I do that, I always pick the Jaguar type people, the Jaguars, the Kings. Like we don't fucking win. And so I get stupid. So then I found out it was the Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier 2. It was the first time they had fought in a really long time.
Yep.
I was a Conor McGregor fighter fan for a long time.
Sure.
I wanted him to win that fight. But for whatever reason, I was like, I want to be happy after this fight no matter what. If I put money on McGregor and he wins, I'm going to be juiced. If I put it on him and he loses, I'm going to be pissed that he lost. I'm going to be pissed that I lost money on it. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm putting $100 on Dustin Poirier. If Dustin wins, I won some money. If McGregor wins, I'm so happy because the guy I wanted to win won. And Poirier knocked him out and I made money off that. So I was like not upset. So same thing with this Chiefs game.
Good strategy.
Obviously we all know that the NFL had rigged that from the start and the Chiefs were going to win no matter what. It was written in the $450 million stars that was made from her.
Do you believe that?
Yes. And they were set at they were set at the underdogs, which was wild, which I don't know if you saw. They moved the line like an hour before the game to like the exact – fuck, I can't remember exactly what it was. But they – oddly enough, it moved like an hour before the game to the like exact score that it ended up being. It's not saying that's conspiracy. But anyways, I put money on them. Was like, if they fucking win, I hate them. But my Niner fans are like just as bad if you're back home in Sacramento. So – So I was like, cool. All right, whatever. And I got to watch the game with my brother, which I rarely get to do because him and I were out in Florida with some family stuff taking care of a family emergency. So spent time with him. So it was kind of a weird time to watch football, but it was a good time to get to see my brother. So
sure.
But yeah, I want some money off him. Damn it, you fucking Chiefs, you son of a bitch. Why don't we jump into... Oh, actually, there was one more thing that I was going to talk about. Dad stuff. Grayson, for whatever reason, decided... This is my oldest. He is 9. For whatever reason, he decided this week, and he's done this one other time with a different food group, where he was like, Dad, Mom, I want to try steak. I want a steak. We're like, okay. And like 3 months ago, he did the same thing with salmon, which barf. But he was like, I want to try salmon. And he won't eat rice. White rice grosses him out. Even just taking a bite, he gags. So when he asks to eat salmon, I'm like, you're never going to fucking eat that. And he loved it. So anyways, tonight, Grayson had his first steak. And it felt like, it's like the boy has become a man.
Right.
No, he's nowhere near a man. He can't even tie his shoes. But it was cool that he was like, he came out and kept checking it on the grill and wanted to see what the process was. And then he over and over said it was the best steak he's ever had. I didn't want to tell him that it was the only steak he's ever had. So, but I took the compliment from him. But yeah, so that was like 2 hours, 3 hours ago.
I got him good tonight. So I had just gotten home and I'm like, I go in and I change my clothes and I walk out into the kitchen and Reagan's there and Dez is sitting on the couch. And then I don't know what Reagan was singing or singing along to a song or something like that. And Grayson just comes around the corner and he's like, why are you singing? And I'm like, why are you in my house? And he's like... He had just walked in. And I'm like, why are you in my house? He goes, seeing what Dez was doing. And they just turned around and walked back out. I'm like, Dez, go see what he's doing.
Oh my God. Jesus.
It was funny. He just came up behind me. It was like, I was almost like, where'd you come from? Just walked
That's
in.
Okay. That's what they'll do. Honestly, yeah. That happens here all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we live next door to each other. So, like, it's, our kids literally like the first thing they do is check. Like my son walks in from school and like screams down the stairs, Dad, can Dez play? It's the first thing he says every day he gets out of school. But like the neighborhood kids will just like can come and go. They'll come in. Our toy room is by the front door with all like the Nerf guns and weapons. And we got a shit ton of those. And like daily 3 or 4 random kids. Some of them I know, some of them I've never seen before. We'll walk in, they'll like pick out a weapon, a Nerf weapon.
Yeah.
And then go outside and disappear. I'm just like, okay, whatever.
Yeah, so, I see anyways. It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of our neighbors did a couple, like 2 or 3 years ago when it was mid-pandemic and we were all hanging out a lot. We were really close as a whole neighborhood.
Yeah.
Got to a point where like, dude across the street just walked straight in my house to like borrow butter. Like didn't even like text or say anything or knock, just kind of walked in and was like, oh, what's up? Hey, do you guys have some butter I can borrow? Like in my living room. It was just like the weirdest thing. So, but anyways,
we still have a neighbor that's a few houses up the street that does that sometimes, just walks right in.
Yeah. We're in like a Leave It to Beaver neighborhood sort of. So
we kind of are. Yeah.
So anyways, we could ramble on and on about boring dad life, but why don't we jump into my favorite, most excited segment, our 6 to Midnight. This is new news, things that get us up in the morning or what we're excited about this week. So my 6 to Midnight, which actually ties into what my sons and I have been doing this week, is we've been watching the old X-Men cartoon from when I was a kid. You know that tune that just gets stuck in your head forever. We have been watching that because the new trailer for the new X-Men 97. It's 97, right?
Yep, X-Men 97.
X-Men 97. They are reboot or continuing. They're not rebooting it. They're continuing that cartoon series, which is super cool because I loved that show as a kid.
Yep.
That was like peak X-Men for me. Like I liked all the live action movies because of that cartoon. Classic blue and yellow Wolverine, Cyclops, where he's actually wearing like a superhero suit. Like, the trailer looked awesome. Did you get a chance to see it?
Yeah, multiple times. I watched it a couple times.
It looks so good. So,
it does. And it takes you back to your childhood. I mean, that's, and again, you've talked about how they're, you know, doing like the Batman animated series, like mm-hmm. sequel series that we keep hearing about, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, like when I was, and I was older than you, but like those two were, like as yeah. I was an older kid, you were a younger kid, but I was an older kid. Those were the two shows that like I really dug at that time, you know?
Yeah, like if we, and it's different. Kids don't understand today. Listen to me talking like an old curmudgeon. Mm-hmm. These young whippersnappers, they can just pull up anything streaming wise and watch it at the snap of a finger. Like,
oh yeah.
Like now, obviously, I can go and pull up the old X-Men cartoon and just watch mm-hmm. a million episodes of it, or do the same thing with Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, you couldn't do that. And there wasn't like, nobody just had the VHS set of X-Men, the cartoon, right, or Batman, the animated series. So like when it popped on, it was only Saturday mornings, and then yep. random other times throughout the week, you'd randomly maybe get one episode, and they would only play one episode. And so like, I don't ever remember catching them like, it's 8 o'clock. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to watch the entire Batman thing. It was like, holy shit. Do I hear the X-Men's like, we're watching that. Everybody stop. Mm-hmm. We're watching this. So, so I think it's really cool to bring that back. Cause my childhood, those were like you had said, like those were pivotal, crucial, important shows.
Yeah.
The animation looks like essentially the same, but with like just a smidgen of a modern touch on it. I actually get a little bit of not, I won't say anime. It's not anime, but it has an anime vibe to that old style of cartoon. So, but that trailer was great. Excited for that. I think it
comes out in March.
That's what I was just going to say.
I think March 20th is the premiere date. March 20th.
Which is freaking great.
Which is a month from today when we're recording.
Wild. Mm-hmm. And then what was I going to talk about? X-Men and then
Helldivers.
Okay. So for whatever reason, there's a new video game out called Helldivers 2. Mm-hmm. I have never heard of this game before. I'm not a PC gamer. I'm not a PlayStation gamer. I have a PS4, but like that was just so I could play Ghost of Tsushima in the Spider-Man game. So I never heard of this game, but I have been, my feed has been like blowing up with it. It's essentially like, I just keep getting these cool, funny, like GIF movie reels of people doing crazy stuff in this game. That's essentially like, it's like Starship Troopers meets like Halo. Like it's basically your soldiers, you're in like a ship up in the atmosphere, and they call them hell divers because when they're like ready to go to war, they literally step on a pod and it like launches them straight down to the planet. Essentially you and however many soldiers, I don't know if it's 5 or 20, it looks like a little bit larger group, they land on these planets and they're trying to take them over from either like a horde of robots or a horde of like aliens that are literally like Starship Trooper aliens.
The but only like, good bug is a dead bug.
Yeah, that's right. I'm doing my part. Like it looks like Starship Troopers, the video game. And the just the stuff that is posting online is just, it kills me. It's so funny. Just search Helldivers 2 and you'll get a million funny things. So that game, I think they said there's an Xbox release that's coming out.
So the first one was the same thing. It was a Microsoft release on PC, and then it was a PlayStation. But then it ended up coming out for Xbox as well. And
oh, I think, there's a one. Ooh.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's why it's Helldivers 2. It is a sequel game.
No, I mean like one on Xbox. So like yeah, I can play so I think
the
that.
First one, but it's totally different. I guess the first one is a top-down game.
So
this one they do third person, so it's supposedly it's
yeah
totally different vibe.
Yeah, it just like there was third person, but I think you can zoom into first person like when you're aiming in on things. But the reason why it looks so cool is because it's all very based on like being overwhelmed and on a last stand where it's like four or five and these hordes just keep coming. I don't know if you ever played Halo Reach, but Halo Reach was a prequel game that came out for Halo. The planet Reach was essentially where all of the Spartans, Halo Spartans, that Master Chief is. There's more than one of him, or was. It was where the Spartans were like trained. And it's big in the lore, the fall of Reach. Basically, the planet got taken over when the Covenant, the bad guy aliens, came in to start their invasion. They took out Reach, then they went after the world. Anyways, but the prequel, Halo Reach, the last level, spoiler, is you are the last Spartan left from a group of like six that you've had the whole game. And it's just you as long as you can survive. And it's like got this sad piano music playing while you're just these hordes of Covenant are coming out of like the fog. It's very sad. And you basically fight as many as you can until you slowly die. And like the moment that set in when you're playing the game, it was actually a big deal. It's one of the coolest moments in gaming history. And so this Helldivers game, it's almost like they saw that and they're like, that was such a cool little like micro experience. Mm-hmm. Let's fucking make a whole game on that where you and your homies are just trying to overtake this planet or hold out as long as you can and taking out as many bugs as you can. So anyways, looks great. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, it does
reminded
look cool.
me. What do you have, kind sir?
So obviously we had the Super Bowl, so we had a lot of movie trailers and things like that. Mm-hmm. And most of the movie trailers that we got during the Super Bowl were trailers that had already kind of popped up online. Maybe they were like different 30-second bits and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But the biggest one, obviously, that came out during the Super Bowl was Deadpool 3, which we now know is simply titled Deadpool and Wolverine, which is yes.
Perfect.
Perfect. And it's great from the get-go. I mean, like right away, it's if you've watched the full trailer online, not just the TV spot, right? But full trailer online, it's great from the get-go. You know right away they're going hard R-rated into it. Disney's not messing around. I mean, he talks about pegging immediately in the trailer. and it's great. You don't get to see Hugh Jackman in the full get up like we've seen online in pictures and stuff. They only show silhouettes. They show a shot of him sitting in a white tuxedo. Looks very much like Patch if you ever read the Wolverine comics. It's everything you kind of wanted it to be. And it shows there's a ton of different set pieces that look like they're from different movies. You're like, oh, that's the scene in Logan or that's the scene in this. And there's a ton of Easter eggs in it too. If you look online, they dive into there's like the old 20th Century Fox like logo buried in the sand, like halfway sticking out. There's a copy of Secret Wars like sitting on the ground next to Deadpool, which is that's the newer Secret Wars with Dr. Doom on the cover. So now, of course, everybody's thinking Dr. Doom's in it. And then there's a character that's dressed like in a Dr. Doom-esque outfit with a gun in the trailer. So there's, everybody's trying to analyze everything about it, which is great. But it looks to me like it's gonna be a fan service movie along the lines of like Endgame, No Way Home, right? Like it's gonna bring a whole bunch of stuff in it that, you know, that's hopefully it's got the quality of those two movies too, because that would be even better. And I don't know, I'm just excited. Deadpool movies have been so good. Yeah, they're great. I mean, they are the right tone. They hit all the right notes. They've got the excessive violence. And obviously Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool as much as Hugh Jackman is Wolverine.
When you know the character and you let mm-hmm. them do the movie like the character, mm-hmm. it's, and I would say both of the Deadpool movies are kind of fan service movies in terms of staying like super on brand for mm-hmm. Deadpool. I mean, we've talked about that on an episode before of how the first movie kind of came about from that little like 10-minute rated R clip and was like, look how cool this could be if you let us do this. And then it became one of like their best movies of all time. And now we're here for number three, which is great. I love that Ryan Reynolds and Hugh Jackman hate each other. Their banter is fucking hilarious if you haven't looked at that stuff online. So mm-hmm. when they finally announced that they were doing this together, it was so juiced. And we're finally getting blue and yellow Wolverine.
Yeah, in the outfit. Yeah. And you almost have to know that it's going to be good, because it was good enough to get Hugh Jackman to come out of retirement for it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that character was done, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
I imagine it was like Ryan Reynolds being like, hey, like, I know you didn't want to be Wolverine again, but like, would you want to be in Deadpool though? Like with me, and we can have a ton of fun. And he was probably like, fuck yeah. He's like, yeah, we're going to do blue and yellow suit. Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Like a totally different tone movie. Yeah. It's going to be a comedy more than anything. And then super violent. Like, yeah, I'm sure he was like, yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. Let's fucking go. So that's coming out in July. So then that's the only MCU movie that's coming out this year. So Deadpool and Wolverine.
I love that. I saw that. And this is me putting on my tinfoil hat, but I mm-hmm. saw that one that Hugh Jackman Wolverine and Ryan Reynolds Deadpool will be like essentially probably leading or a part of the lead for Secret Wars with Tobey Maguire Spider-Man.
I've heard that too, but
that was kind of the rumblings that I saw. And I also saw with the X-Men 97 cartoon mm-hmm. that they were potentially looking at like having that looped into the multiverse of like the bigger Marvel U, if that, or MCU. Yeah. Like that was legit what I was reading the other day was like,
They can pretty much, the multiverse, your options are endless. We've talked about mm-hmm, that before. You mm-hmm. can basically say anything's tied in with anything, right? It's just another universe. I mean, you could see Deadpool in the movie go into a universe that is the animated deck. It would be hilarious. Awesome. I mean, it'd be pretty great. So. The other big piece of news that came out was on Valentine's Day in the morning. No notice whatsoever. Marvel and Disney put out on their social media, Happy Valentine's Day from Marvel's First Family. And it's just a Valentine's Day card with your Mr. Fantastic, Pedro Pascal, confirmed, right? Your Sue Storm. Invisible Woman, Vanessa Kirby, Joseph Quinn, who most people know as Eddie from Stranger Things,
mm-hmm.
as mm-hmm. the Human Torch. And then I'm not super familiar with his work, but I know he's on The Bear, the TV show The Bear.
Dude.
I
haven't watched that show, but there is a viral clip from him doing kind of Gordon Ramsay,
he's like a cousin or something in the show. Like, mm-hmm. again, I haven't watched it or not, but his name's Eben Moss Backrack. I probably screwed that up, but he did, Cousin Richie. He won an Emmy for Cousin Richie and The Bear, but he's going to be the thing. Mm-hmm. And it just, I mean, it looks like straight from the get go, it takes place in the 60s.
Wait, which guy is the Stranger Things guy? What actor?
Human Torch, Joseph Quinn. He was Eddie,
He's Eddie Munson.
Yeah, the guitar player in the last season.
I did not pick up on mm-hmm. that. That's who it is. He was so good in that season. He is? Yes.
Great. Yeah. But he's Let's Human Torch.
Go.
Yeah.
So
it does fill in, like, so Vanessa Kirby and Joseph Quinn had been kind of rumored to be circling those two roles, but they just confirmed all of it. It's going to be summer of next year, which means they're probably going to start fast tracking Fantastic Four then, because they're adding it to next year's slate. So that's pretty
nice.
Exciting.
Well, then there we go. We got
that's
pretty second exciting. One in there.
Yeah. So good stuff there. And I think I sent you the text, but I think that's an absolute home run on casting. I mean, you didn't hire a bunch of like up and comers or no names, mm-hmm. you know, like, and you didn't hire them as kids, you know?
Yeah.
So
people that are like peaking right now that everybody like loves, everybody freaking loves Eddie from Stranger mm-hmm. Things. Everybody loves Pedro Pascal.
And Vanessa Kirby's great.
What's she in again?
She was Napoleon's wife.
Oh. Oh,
and
yeah.
She's in the last couple of Mission Impossible movies too.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Dude, I saw someone was posting like Pedro Pascal is like, he's got like the infinity gauntlet of like movie franchises, like,
oh yeah,
or just overall for Game of Thrones, freaking mm-hmm. Star Wars, Marvel, like,
yeah,
it's crazy. He doesn't stop. Cool.
But yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so Fantastic Four summer next year, Deadpool and Wolverine July this year.
Six to Midnight that we are both excited about. We are mm-hmm. T-minus like 2 weeks or 10 days, 9 days from Dune 2. I'm so freaking pumped.
29th.
I can't freaking wait. We already have our tickets. Mm-hmm. It's going to be awesome. I got the butthole popcorn
it's not,
bucket.
It's not a butthole. All right. I'm not sitting by you. Love that. Anyway, that takes us into our big premiere movie of the week. Can't wait. The 2024 Sony Spider-Verse Marvel movie, Madam Web. So as we do with most big premiere movie of the weeks, because this movie did just come out this weekend, and I'm sure some of you are dying to see it, we're going to go ahead and give our initial thoughts on the movie, recommend whether we think you should see it in theaters or ever. And then we'll give you our spoiler warning and we'll just go full ham on it because that's what we want to do. So to get to the like substance of the movie first, or the information.
What? There was substance?
No. Hold on. I'm going to talk about like who made the movie and stuff. So we have people to blame. Madam Web is a Columbia Pictures and D. Bonaventura Pictures release in partnership with Marvel and TSG Entertainment, and was distributed by Sony because they have the right to Marvel's Spider people. Mm. And this movie is directed by S.J. Clarkson in her feature film debut. Shocker. It is written by her, Claire Parker, and the team of Matt Sazama and Burke Sharpless. Sharpless is a good term. They're a writing duo have given us such gems as Dracula Untold, The Last Witch Hunter, Gods of Egypt, and Morbius. So they wrote those and they gave them another job.
All of those movies are horrible.
Horrible. Yeah, you are correct. They are bad.
Oh my God.
And then this film stars Dakota Johnson as Cassie Webb. Sydney Sweeney, Isabella Merced, and Celeste O'Connor as the Spider Women.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tahar Rahim as Ezekiel, the bad spider person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then, unfortunately for them, the acting talents of Adam Scott, Mike Epps, and Emma Roberts. Sorry, you three, that you had to be in this movie.
They were like the biggest actors that were actually in this movie in terms of their star power and experience.
I mean, honestly, like Mike Epps deserves an Oscar for this movie compared to everybody else.
Yeah, for the 2 seconds that he's in it.
Yeah, and then he dies. At least he made it. I'm sorry. Ooh, spoiler alert. Anyway, if you guys haven't noticed already, we're just going to get to it. This movie's bad. Like, bad, bad. Like, it's not good. Mm-hmm. Don't go see it. Don't give them your money. If you don't want to know what idiocy happens or some of the worst dialogue in movie history, which I've got some gems written down, I'm ready to share.
Mm-hmm.
Spoiler warning, get out now, skip to the end, but don't take the time that you're skipping to go see this movie. Go watch Morbius.
Yes. If you're looking for an Oscar worthy movie, watch Morbius and not this, and you'll get closer to an Oscar than this will ever snap.
Would be closer.
Oh.
Okay. Spoiler warning, get out, because here we go. This is one of the worst superhero movies ever made. It's not the worst, but it is one of.
It is so bad.
It's pretty bad. My biggest issue with this movie was that it was boring.
And super nothing, boring.
And nothing happens.
Yeah. I don't know if we've talked about this on an episode before, but like, I am a major origin movie hater for superhero movies.
Mm.
Primarily.
We've never talked about that.
Because they never put them in their costumes. Like, we got no, if we would have got Spider Women, this horrible movie, and them in like their Spider-Man, Spider-Girl mm-hmm. costumes for actual parts of the movie and not just a flashback, like, I might have liked it a little bit more. But like, that's my first thing is like, I hate superhero movies where no one is like a superhero in the entire fucking movie. Get out of here. On top of it being like the worst dialogue of all time.
Okay, so let me ask. Like, I'm trying to think. Because most origin superhero movies, they eventually develop into the superhero. Maybe it's a third of the way into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how many instances have there been where you've gone an entire movie and nobody's become a superhero?
Yeah.
That literally doesn't happen in this movie.
Okay. This movie, I finally figured out, I put my finger on like, what does this remind me of? This movie is a combination of Halle Berry Catwoman and Final Destination. It is Final Destination, Halle Berry Catwoman, where they are trying to survive things they see in the future while mm-hmm. also being like the worst superhero movie of all time. It's so, so bad.
It's bad.
It was so bad. I think when we saw the trailer, like, it was, the writing was on the wall.
We knew it was going to be bad. I mean, there was... Yeah. There was never a doubt that this movie was going to be bad. And I know you referenced it at the beginning of the episode. We were talking about, now we have something we can trash mm-hmm. instead of the Flash, right? The yeah. difference between the two is I had expectations for one movie.
Yeah.
I had no expectations for this movie.
Yeah.
And boy, it still didn't meet those expectations.
God. Oh, man. It's like... Like you said, it was just really, really boring.
Mm-hmm.
The dialogue, it was like a high schooler wrote the lines for this movie. I felt like.
Yeah, it did.
I don't really have a lot to say about it because it was so bad, if that makes sense.
Here's the basic plot is Cassie Webb is a paramedic and her partner is Ben Parker. Who anybody who knows Spider-Man knows mm-hmm. is Uncle Ben, right? Mm-hmm. Who's played by Adam Scott. And of course, in my head, it's 2003. I'm like, oh, so this is Marissa Tomei's Uncle Ben,
mm-hmm.
which is great. I like Adam Scott.
Yeah.
The only scenes in this movie I probably liked were the ones with him in it. Anyway.
Yeah. Yep.
So they're partners. Basically, like what? When before she was, when her mom was pregnant with her mom was in the jungle in the Amazon looking for this rare form of spider nobody's ever found alive. She finds it. her partner that's down there helping her, shoots everybody, shoots her, takes the spider, right? Yep. That's all you know. Mm-hmm. Then magically, these weird fucking spider people come out of the trees.
Yeah.
Just because. Like, I don't know why they decided they didn't want to just let this white bitch die in the jungle.
Yeah, these indigenous Spider-Man people that are painted
It's like Spider-Man's suit, the webbing part, like the lines, like they just put the lines on these people, like, but no suit. So they're naked with lines on them.
Painted. Yeah.
They look dumb. They come out of the trees. Yes. They basically take her to a cave, let one of the spiders bite her as she has the baby. And then she dies.
It was so, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
They later see one of those indigenous people when they randomly take a quick trip to back to Peru, which is, I believe, where it was.
Well, they had to, because they had to figure out a plot line for this movie. So we have to return to the scene of the crime.
Yeah. So she just decides that she's going there. We flash forward to her there, exactly where her mom had been, like, just was able to find it in this fucking jungle like it was nothing. And the one of the indigenous guys is there, but he's now like modern, if that makes sense. Like, he's dressed normal in normal clothes with like well-kempt hair and beard and like a suit. I didn't understand, like, wait, wasn't this guy like an indigenous tribe person who doesn't wear clothes or shoes?
Yeah. Not and very now, long he's, ago. Now he's dressed like a hippie.
Yeah. It's, I was like, where, what is happening?
They didn't explain. Also,
I tried to get someone to go to this movie with me. Mm-hmm. Old Bojanski. I gave him the, hey, I'm going to see this movie, because he's been trying to roll with me to one of these. It's been a while. Mm-hmm. And this was the first time where he was like, yep. From what I saw online, I am not going to waste my money on this.
Hard pass. It's like,
all right, I'll go by myself then. So anyways, continue, kind sir.
So she, fast forward, she's a paramedic, partners with Adam Scott. She's super fucking awkward. Nobody, like, she's like, hangs out with the dudes. She's super awkward with like patients. She's super awkward with women, because she's at a baby shower for Ben's.
Yeah.
Sister-in-law, who's going to have a baby named, I don't know, like, we're all dumb.
Yeah, I thought that was, like, they were trying to do this, like, fan service without saying it. Yeah, the balloon pops as she was basically saying, Peter, like, what? Yeah, it's fucking,
I don't know what they're trying to do.
What is going on?
Anyway, there's a, she gets in an accident, she hits her head. Oh, my God, all of a sudden she has all these weird fucking visions. And now what happens is like, she can see things, and you never know when it's happening, because they don't tell you. It just happens. So she can see things before they happen, right? So basically, you're watching a scene in a movie and something happens, and then rewinds back to before the thing happens. And now she knows it's going to happen. So she has to figure out how to stop it or fix it or whatever. Anyway, basic plot of the movie. She keeps seeing these three girls. Well, it turns out Ezekiel wants to kill them, because he can see the future, and they're going to eventually kill him. Mm-hmm. And of course, his sidekick or whatever, he basically sleeps with somebody that works for the NSA and steals their security, because it's easy to do that. And so now he has access to all the cameras in the city, which makes tons of sense. Because there's cameras everywhere in 2003. They're everywhere.
Yes.
It's everywhere.
I love that you reminded that this is in 2003, because like the amount of times that they try to make you feel like you're in that world and then immediately have something or show something or do something that's way modern and not something from 2003.
Right. So and then they play like a song from the early 2000s, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is trash.
Yeah, it's exactly how they do it.
And so he's hunting these three girls, and of course she saves them. And then of course they think she kidnapped them, which I never understood that. It was clear she was helping them, but these cameras caught, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
basically, she's got to try to figure out how to use her powers, which is why she goes to Peru and meets Matthew McConaughey from the jungle. Mm-hmm. And he basically explains what happens. And of course, the climax is she's getting to use her powers. They're back in the city. Oh, by the way, Peter Parker's being born. And she can use her powers. The three Spider-Women, who you see in the trailers as different versions of Spider-Woman, mm-hmm. never become Spider-Women in this fucking movie.
Nope.
Just flashbacks. Just
flashbacks.
Just or the flash forwards. The
yeah.
The future, the visions, if you will.
Yes. So from what I had seen on my research. Mm-hmm. Which I can't believe I spent time researching.
I know.
I think the original point or plan for this movie was to basically build into introducing Spider-Man into like the Sony world, like the Venom universe, mm-hmm. etc. From what they also had said was potentially could and would have been Tom Holland. Even if it wasn't like, if it was a different version of Spider-Man that Tom Holland would be playing. So not necessarily like the MCU version.
Could be a different universe, right?
From what I was seeing was the original plan was the movie was supposed to like, this is going to introduce us to the Spider-Man that's then going to connect to all of these freaking Spider-Man side character movies that have no Spider-Man in it. But that it was so bad and so just not what it used to be. And I think even the main actress said that the movie changed a ton after they originally had like signed on. Like they changed a whole bunch of stuff.
She didn't fucking know. Dakota Johnson didn't know anyway. I mean, she during press junkets, she said, I've seen like maybe 4% of the... you know, Marvel movies that have come out. She literally said that. Oh, they asked her. She did an interview. You got to hear this. She did an interview and they said, do you know, like, could you name Tom Holland's Spider-Man movies, right? Like, you know, Homecoming, Far From Home, and No Way Home, right? Could you name them? And she said, number one is Spider-Man Here He Comes. Number two is Spider-Man and He's Back. And I'm sure she's being facetious because she just doesn't know. Yeah. And then, of course, she said the Goblet of Spider-Man is the third.
Oh, my God. That I sent you a clip of – it was like a montage of directors from like comic book movies, superhero yes. movies over the last like 10 years. And they were really bad movies. And then it was like a clip of the director being like, oh no, like we didn't read any of the source material. Like we don't know.
I've never read one of those comics.
Yeah, I've never read a Thor comic ever. Like I don't know anything about the character, but like it was just like, why do people hire these people? Why would you hire a brand new director for a movie with people that already have done like five of the worst blockbuster movies in the last 20 years? What makes you think that that's going to be a successful recipe? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the word web is in it and that's connected to Spider-Man.
So I saw this online and I wanted to share it, but it said, all of these events happen during Madame Web. Madame Web's born in a cave in Peru with the help of magical spider people. The three spider women never get their powers and are only seen in costumes during dream sequences. Mm-hmm. Evil Spider-Man is killed at the end by a large Pepsi sign. Product placement. Madame Web becomes wanted for kidnapping by the NYPD. Madame Web runs down Evil Spider-Man in her car twice. Peter Parker is born but not named. And
they specifically didn't name him. They
never
like,
name him.
Like it was a joke.
And Madame Web inexplicably splits into three ghost-like copies of herself at the end of the movie.
Dude, it's crazy. And that's the other thing. Well, you didn't watch, or at least from what we've talked about, is the Spider-Man cartoon was not like big for you when you maybe like age-wise it wasn't big. Right. But for me, it was X-Men, Batman, and that Spider-Man cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
And that Spider-Man cartoon was the only reason why I know who Madame Web is, because they did in the later seasons, she was a like a pivotal character in where, you know, the comic book nerds who know more about Madame Web will probably roast me for it, but in the cartoon, she was in like the realm between realms in this big giant spider chair.
Mm-hmm.
And she was an old lady.
Yeah.
White hair.
Yep.
With giant red goggle glasses.
Yep.
And, but her, she, it was almost kind of like a Venom black and white Spider-Man like dress. But she would like randomly rip Peter Parker Spider-Man out of his normal world and bring him into this realm within a realm to like talk with him about things that are happening in the future or other realms that he needs to be a part of. It was really the, I keep saying realms, but it was, the multiverse is mm-hmm. the word I should be using. And that spider, Madame Web was a big reason for the Avengers and Spider-Man and X-Men crossover episodes that happened.
Gotcha.
So like for me, when I heard they're doing a Madame Web movie, I'm like, oh, she's like way down the line of Spider-Man lore. Like he's got to be Spider-Man for a long time. How are they going to do a prequel with her? And how's that going to be interesting? And I still have no answer for that question. So.
Well, they didn't make it interesting. And listen, yeah. I'm like, I don't want to, I'm like, I think I've always said like every movie's worth seeing once because people spent time and money and energy and dedicated months or whatever of their life to making things like this. Like it was doomed from the get-go.
Mm-hmm.
I will say that. Okay. Sony, I think is honestly just putting movies out because they have to, to stay, to keep the rights to Spider-Man. Cause they have to make content. They're required to, they have 900 characters that they're free to use, but most of them are villains and relatives of Spider-Man. Right. I mean, that's basically where they're at. That's why they made Venom movies. They made Morbius. They made this. I don't know why this was so high on the list.
Yeah.
They're making a Kraven the Hunter movie, which does look good.
Does look good.
It does, but I'm so.
These characters are like when originally it was said they were doing a Morbius movie. Again, mm-hmm. that Spider-Man cartoon made the character of Morbius a really interesting and cool character.
I read Spider-Man comics in the 90s. Like when I was a kid, I liked Morbius as a character. I thought he was a cool bad guy. And sometimes he wasn't a bad guy. He was an anti-hero. But yes.
So like I like the characters. If you have Spider-Man, and we have talked about that on other episodes, if you have Spider-Man involved in the story or the movie, and these characters are who he's fighting or having some type of controversy with, then they are super interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, super interesting. But without the it's like having a dinner plate with nothing but sides and not the sides that you love. Mm-hmm. It's like, where is the steak? Like, we need Spider-Man in this damn thing, or no one's gonna care, or at least try to make it interesting, and they didn't.
That's the problem, is I don't think they can use Spider-Man.
Yeah, they can't, but then it's like, don't make it.
Can't they use old Spider-Man? Can't they bring one of them back? Is that
I have no idea.
I would think they would be able to because that's a franchise that they already started. I don't know what the rules are. I really don't.
Yeah.
I tried to look it up. I know they have to make so much content every 5 years and 9 months. They're required
or they lose the rights.
Yeah. I mean, that's, they have to. I will say this. There's a lot of people that don't like Disney, and I get that. And some of the stuff that they've done with Star Wars, I know it's pissed a lot of people off. But we can agree that the MCU overall has been a positive, right? It's made a ton of money. They've made good movies for the most part. Maybe lately they haven't. They went out and they bought Fox movies. They bought 20th Century Fox so that they could basically get all those characters back is basically why they did it. Marvel needs to go. Disney needs to go buy Sony right now.
Yeah,
they need to go buy Sony. They need to take Spider-Man back and all of this Spider-Man content back, because Sony's just making it awful.
We're all punished
for it. Yeah.
Nobody gets to enjoy Spider-Man because these freaking monopolies won't allow it.
And it's Sony's just killing Spider-Man. They started killing Spider-Man with the Andrew Garfield movies with that second one. It wasn't good. They ruined it with the Green Goblin and it had its issues. And then listen, you say what you want about Tom Hardy and Venom. Like, Venom's a great character and I like Tom Hardy. The movie's not great by any means. The second one's terrible.
Yeah.
Morbius is terrible. This is terrible.
Yeah.
It's time to let it go.
What's crazy is
go make your $4 billion or whatever and sell this shit to Disney right now. Now.
One, that needs to happen. Two, it's interesting that this hot garbage was produced, paid for, filmed, edited. They put money into advertising, all that jazz to release what there's no way that a human being with eyeballs didn't see that this was not going to be a good movie and it was horrible. But like Batgirl, the movie just straight up got canned.
They shelved.
Like why would one, I mean, I get they're two different companies, so they make different decisions, but like in my head, Sony is going to spend all this money and drop this. They're probably going to lose a ton of their money already, but at least they got it out there to try to make it back.
They won't.
They won't, but they'll make more than they would if they didn't release it at all, right?
Sure.
Think about like with Batgirl, like the movie was maybe like they had done no editing on it, but from what I understood, it was pretty much done, or at least filmed. You could pay a very small team to put the edit together to release that and get something out of it. People are going to watch it because Michael Keaton's in it. So,
what I was going to say is, like, if they released Batgirl, people are going to, I'm going to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Brendan Fraser's the bad guy and Michael Keaton's Batman's in it. Why wouldn't I watch it?
Dude, yeah. And
can it be worse than this?
That was why I brought it up was, If this company can release this hot garbage that doesn't have the main character that we're interested in, like Spider-Man, or another interesting character in it, a movie like Batgirl, whether it was horrible or not, has more Michael Keaton Batman in it and Oscar-winning Brendan Fraser as the bad guy.
Right.
Like, we'll watch it. Same thing as the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League. Like, they finally gave in and were like, fine, we'll release this. And now, like, people, like, they love that fucking movie. So,
yeah, it's maybe, way better than what the other shit we got.
Yeah, the original one. Yeah. Maybe when down the line, that Batgirl, unless they like burned the evidence,
I would assume it'll come out at some point. And Warner Brothers is doing that a lot lately. Like, there was the like John Cena Wile E. Coyote movie, the like Looney Tunes one, that still hasn't come out. Did you know they remade Salem's Lot, the Stephen King book? They remade Salem's Lot. They shelved it. Stephen King's seen it, and he says it's the best adaptation of that book that he's seen.
Come on.
And there's two other versions, which are both fine. I've read the book, though. The book is way better than either version, but just put it out.
Yeah, just if it's done, like, let the world
made the movie.
See it. Yeah. Like, even if it's like, maybe if you don't want to spend money on advertising and the cost to put it in theaters because you'll lose money, great. But if you put it on streaming, people are going to watch it. They're going to like it.
Make it a digital release. Like, like Crisis on Infinite Earth. Like you have to pay if you want to see it now. Otherwise, you got to wait this long before it's on Max. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just do that?
Yeah, and you could release it at a time where there's like nothing going on, like just like Crisis on Infinite Earths when that dropped. Like there wasn't any other interesting movies coming on, so like right. That was just. I mean, obviously we're interested in that story because we liked that right. From a long time ago, but because of the timing of it, that was like a big deal. Because of the timing of Rebel Moon when it dropped, like that was like the only mm-hmm. thing that was new hotness. So. You could time it right, you know, in a boring week.
Absolutely.
If they were like this Friday, Batgirl's actually dropping on HBO Max. Like,
okay,
I'll watch it. A fuck ton of people are going to watch it. So
I know we're getting off subject because we're talking about the movie and it dived into they put these shitty movies out. Why don't they put out other shitty movies?
Like, yeah. Yep.
Listen, I've never seen a movie with Dakota Johnson in it and said, boy, she was really good in that movie. And I'm not, she's terrible as an actress.
Yeah.
She's not. And I mean, like, I remember when, like, I think it was last year when Jamie Lee Curtis was on the award circuit for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Did you ever see that?
No, I didn't end up seeing it.
It ended up winning Best Picture. She won an Oscar for her role in it, which maybe she shouldn't have gotten it, but she definitely deserved to be nominated. She was good in it. And there were people talking about how she was a Nepo baby, right? You know what nepotism is, right? Where
she
basically is just getting these opportunities because her mom's Janet Leigh and her dad's Tony Curtis, and they were Hollywood royalty. And Jamie Lee Curtis is not. She's a very talented actress. She's great in a lot of things, and she's been making movies since the freaking 70s. Like, she's 50 years. She's an icon.
Yeah.
Dakota Johnson might be really somebody that took favor in nepotism. I mean, because I don't know how she's getting these opportunities to act other than her fact that her parents are super famous. Her dad's freaking Don Johnson. Her mom's Melanie Griffith. And she can't act to save her life.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds terrible, but good God. Why is she the lead in this fucking movie?
I don't think anybody could have saved this movie.
Probably not.
But she didn't help it.
No.
If that says anything. So, that also has a lot to do with the character itself. Like, who is asking for this?
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. But I mean, at the same time, though, she obviously wasn't invested in the role. It's tough. Listen, if you guys didn't realize already, like, it's one of the worst movies we've probably ever reviewed on this podcast.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it a 2.
Give it a 1. It was a 1.
I think I'm going to give it a 2. I'll be honest with you. Like, I was almost invested at the beginning and at, like, the scenes with Adam Scott, like her as the paramedic. And then like the baby shower / barbecue scene. And then like the warehouse fire. A big fan of his, and like, so I was kind of getting into what was going on, and then once her powers started showing up and shit, and she was like one of her best friends that she worked with through the fire department or whatever dies, and she's not gonna go to the funeral because she's sad. And then she ends up trying to go at the last minute, and that's when all this stuff starts. Then I got lost. So I guess because of that, I'm going to give it a 2.
Because there was a smidgen of hope.
There was.
I did like the bad guy. I hated the bad guy. I liked his costume. That was all I was going to say. Okay. I liked his costume.
And I mean, like, doesn't even have a name. He's just Ezekiel.
Yep.
The evil spider person. Like, that's it.
There's a 1. Don't see it. Don't even see it when it streams.
I have to just throw this out there. The Uncle Ben and obviously in No Way Home, the line, "With great power comes great responsibility." In this movie, when you take on the responsibility, great power will come. No.
Out of here. It was so, so bad. When they said that, I audibly whispered, what the fuck? Like, get the fuck out of here.
I laughed at times during this movie, like, and it wasn't supposed to be funny. I was like, yes. You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, so, yeah.
And nothing happens. The movie's boring. It's mm-hmm. dull. And there's nothing good about it.
I would recommend go watching the movie Morbius instead of watching this movie. And you'll actually see a better movie. Not a good movie, but a better movie than this. So,
I agree. Anyway, that's our review of the Madam Web. That's all I'm going to say. Madam Web. That's our review. That takes us into my favorite segment. There can be only five.
Only five.
So I wanted to go with something that this kind of falls into. I wanted to go with the worst spinoffs of all time. So not sequels, mind you, necessarily, but spinoffs, things that spun off of something else, like a different franchise, or it's a side character movie, or, you know, something along those lines. So the five worst spinoff movies of all time. At number five, I had Steel with Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh my God. I fucking forgot about Steel, where he shoots the grenade like a free throw. Get out of here.
So Shaq is in this superhero movie where he's basically this sledgehammer toting titan of a man in this giant steel suit of armor. Anybody who's familiar with DC Comics knows he was one of the reign of the Supermen after Superman died. He was one of the Supermen. Steel was.
Yep.
This movie doesn't mention any of that. It doesn't fall into any of that. It's just its own random Shaquille O'Neal movie vehicle.
Yeah.
And I like Shaq. I think Shaq's funny. Shaq can't carry a movie. It's not going to happen. It's pretty bad. It's a bad movie. So I had that at number five.
God, as a kid, I actually liked that movie because it was Shaq. It was the Hulk Hogan effect.
Like, yeah.
Anything they were in, I was like, oh, I'm interested in this. Shazam? Yeah, I'm interested in this. Yeah, Shazam? Kazam.
Which one's the fake one with Sinbad that never really existed? Is that Shazam? Yeah.
Yes, Shaxx actually. And Kazam.
Yeah, that's the fake one that doesn't exist.
It's funny you just said
that. The Mandela Effect movie. Yes. Anyway, I had that at number five. At number four, I had Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Oh, okay.
Oh, no, not the first one. The second one.
I like the first one. Them fighting words.
No. Alien versus Predator is okay. Alien versus Predator Requiem is a dog shit movie. It's at number four because we got the Pred alien in this movie, like the Predator alien hybrid, which is cool. It is kind of violent. So things happen in it. It's not anywhere near the quality of any of these other ones. We've talked about how some of these alien movies are dumb. We talked about how some of these Predator movies are bad. And this is probably the worst out of all of them.
Yeah.
Both franchises. It's pretty bad. And it takes place, is it like in a Colorado mountain town?
That's like a little.
It's fucking stupid. Town. It's awful. And then number four. At number three, I had Madam Web. Madam Web made the list at number three. And you're probably saying to yourself after hearing our review, holy shit, are there really two worse spinoff movies than Madam Web? Well, let me tell you, at number two, I had, as you probably referred to it as Madam Web Part 1, Catwoman with Halle Berry, which we've talked about on this pod before. It's probably the worst superhero movie of all time. Halle Berry in that Catwoman suit is... she looked good, I'll say that, but that movie's fucking trash, okay?
See, I hated her costume in it, too, so...
Well, yeah, it's terrible, but it's like a
Michelle Pfeiffer in
her... Yeah, you're right.
Like
it's so bad, and she had, like, just won an Oscar, too, for Monsters Ball, and that movie came out, and then you get Sharon Stone with the face cream that makes you, like, indestructible and shit, so it's pretty bad. I guess.
And horrible.
Is there more action in that, though, than Madame Web, maybe? So at least it's got that going for it.
It's actually, surprisingly, a little bit more coherent of a story, believe it or not.
Yeah, maybe. maybe I should switch them. But, and then at number one, the worst spinoff movie of all time is Son of the Mask.
Mm. God.
It's
Jamie Kennedy, right?
It's Jamie Kennedy. I mean, I've almost, like, I don't think I could tell you anything about that movie except that it's terrible. Like, I watched it once. I'll never watch it again.
Yeah.
It's, like, erased from my memory.
I was just going to say, like, I watched it, but it is burned from my brain. It's
been removed. Like, I have deleted the file to make room for something else.
Yes.
But the worst decision was, like, well, Jim Carrey doesn't want to make a sequel. So we should get the guy from Malibu's Most Wanted to play his son.
Yeah.
Because people will want to see that.
God.
That's the worst decision ever made.
So bad.
When casting a movie. And again, like, there's so many, like, bad spinoff movies. Like, I was thinking, like, Supergirl. Remember that from the 80s with Helen Slater? It's a bad movie. Evan Almighty's bad compared to Bruce Almighty. Yep. But boy, like, Elektra's bad. You know, like, from Daredevil, like, that wasn't a good movie either. But boy, there are some dog shit spinoff movies out there. Son of the Mask. Don't ever watch it.
That's, like, famously, most people would say, like, this is, like, the worst spinoff or sequel ever. Well, we have a very similar list.
I figured we would.
Different order of things.
Hmm.
There's two on here that are different than yours. So, number five. Of my there can only be five worst spinoff movies of all time. Number five, I've got Elektra, the spinoff from the Daredevil movie, which I think now Daredevil has, like, a reputation of, like, being a bad, like, it was a bad movie, but I actually really liked Daredevil when it came out. Like, as a kid, I didn't have a problem with it. Bullseye was a little weird in it. But Elektra,
Colin Farrell too, man.
Yeah, they had freaking Batman and the Penguin, like, in this movie together, and people
Michael
don't like
Clark
it.
Duncan so, is yeah. I love Michael Clark Duncan, but boy, he was awful as a kingpin.
Yeah, he's not a good kingpin.
No.
And so what do? They decide, let's make a. And she died in the movie, which is comic accurate. She died in Daredevil. Spoiler. Mm-hmm. And then they decided,
well, she dies,
like,
in the show too.
Yeah. And they go, let's make a Elektra movie. That'll be interesting. And it was not good. It was horrible. I don't even think I sat through the entire thing because it was so bad. Mm-hmm. And now it's been so long. I think all the movies on this list have been burned from my brain. So
good for you, man.
Number four, which shocking. I had Son of the Mask at number four of worst spinoff of all time. So I've got three others lined up in front of them. And primarily because I believe I only saw Son of the Mask one time and it was so bad, but I couldn't tell you more than two scenes of it. Like, I can picture the dog having the mask on for a portion of the movie, but anyways,
when the dog has the mask on in the first one, it's part of the best part of the movie.
Yeah, it's
one
funny. Son of the Mask was terrible. Number three, I had Morbius as, like, what in the fuck is this? Why did I watch this? Why can't freaking 30 Seconds to Mars get a superhero character right? Like, can't get the Joker right, Jared Leto. Can't get freaking Morbius right.
You know who I didn't mind in that? I didn't mind Matt Smith in that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought he was pretty okay.
Yes, but you need other, like, things for the movie to be worth it. But I had Morbius at number three. I did have a change in my list today from what it has been for the last 10 plus years. Number two, I have Catwoman. Halle Berry is my number two worst spinoff movies of all time. But just, even though it has no relation to Batman and is not even though they say it's a sequel to Batman Returns, I will never believe that. It's still a Batman character.
Mm.
And a movie just came out that is giving me an opportunity to shit on Marvel for doing something horrible, even though technically it's not Marvel. It's an association with Marvel. Number one, worst spinoff movie of all time, recency bias included, Madam Web.
Number one.
A flaming, flying piece of hot garbage that movie is. Don't even see it. Don't waste your time. Go watch The Marvels. You'll be way more entertained. Yeah, it's my number one worst spinoff movie of all time. It was so bad. It was so, what the fuck is this? I was like angry during the movie. So, yeah. And that says a lot because Catwoman is bad.
Yeah.
But,
and that's why I was sitting here when I was going over mine and I was like, man, Catwoman probably had more shit happen in it though. Maybe I got these two backwards. Son of the Mask was staying at number one though. That wasn't coming off.
Yeah, and I think like generally the world would say Son of the Mask is number one of like, I did see that on a lot of lists too, and I was looking. So, well, look at us. And you mentioned like the ones that I was like, oh, he didn't say mine. He was like, oh,
sorry.
But he knows they're bad. So like there were clearly, those are the movies that stay in that realm as a group. Like at everyone least, groups it, them you know, together.
Whether you're Republican or Democrat, or you like football or baseball, you probably agree that Catwoman Madam Web, horrible. And Son of a Mask are all dog shit. So. Yeah.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay. So that jumps us into my There Can Be Only Five, which is, I was kind of shocked that we hadn't done this before. We've done something close to it.
Because we avoided doing it. Because we had done a top five Marvel movies and we had a bunch of Spider-Man in there. And then we had done. Okay. So that's why the last time we decided to do top five Peter Parkers.
Yeah.
So
I think our list is going to be different here because there is a movie franchise recent that is really good that I did not include in my list because in my head, when someone's like, what's your favorite Spider-Man movie? I think Peter Parker, Spider-Man only. Like what's Peter Parker, Spider-Man comic? Like, so in my head, I was like, I looked at it from, if someone was like, what's your favorite Spider-Man movies? I would go immediately to like the Peter Parker movies where like we're following actual Spider-Man.
Oh, so I need to take Venom off my list or?
No, you live your life, man. Okay, live thanks. Your life.
Madam Web, cross it out.
Yeah, Madam Web, number one. Oh. I had number five of greatest Spider-Man movies of all time. I had Spider-Man No Way Home at number five. I had a Tom Holland Spider-Man movie in there. I will say it got a lot of love because it had Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield in it. And I felt like we got some closure to some of those other movies.
Okay.
But also we got I have talked about this on an episode before. We got at the very end, we got Tom Holland as like classic dressed and classic New York. He's a nobody Spider-Man. So I thought that was great. And I was really hoping that was going to give us now a comic book-y Tom Holland Spider-Man movie. Haven't got it yet, but number five, Spider-Man No Way Home. All of the recent Marvel nerds are going to crush me for it. They're going to say it's best ever. It's not. At number three or number four, I had Spider-Man 1 with Tobey Maguire. This is like the classic origin. It had been a while since I watched it, probably like 5 or 6 years. And then a couple months ago, watched it again with my sons and was reminded how good it was in terms of like really capturing like the classic Spider-Man origin. There's a ton of stuff that is really ripped directly from the comics that's in the movie. Also, it has Macho Man Randy Savage in it, so it's got to be on my top five list. Yeah, he's ready. great movie. So that's my number four. And then my number three is The Amazing Spider-Man. Andrew Garfield's first Spider-Man movie. Loved that we got the Lizard as a bad guy in a movie.
Yeah.
I thought, just like Andrew Garfield, I think, and we've talked about this, is like my favorite Spider-Man. I like his Peter Parker, his Spider-Man.
It's when very comic booky. Top five Peter Parkers, he was my number one.
Yes. And I felt like I was going to get roasted if I had him at number one. So I was like, I flipped these back and forth and they're very close to me.
You had the animated series guy, I think, is your number one.
Yeah, he's so good. Yeah. He is great. You should watch one episode of that show and I think you'd really
like it. I'm sure I have.
That's a show that I'm like, if you're going to redo X-Men 97, redo Spider-Man 98. Mm-hmm. Bring it on.
Well, they are doing an animated Spider-Man show.
Yeah, but I don't think. Well, one, I don't know anything about that, and I'm interested in knowing about that.
It's like High School Adventures Spider-Man because it's Wally's in high school. Boy, I'll look that up because I'm trying to remember what it's called. Like they announced it, but I don't remember when it's supposed to come out.
That is fantastic. Those other shows that came out. There was the one that where he was in high school was really good. Mm-hmm. I don't remember if it was Ultimate Spider-Man or Spider-Man Ultimate or something.
And that's a good – that I had that it's on my really list. That's good. A good series, yeah.
It's really good. I had number three as Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. Number two, and I will say this, my number one and number two have changed as of today. It has not been like this for the majority of my life, which is going to tell you everything that you need to know. My number two best Spider-Man movie of all time is Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire, where he's fighting Doc Ock. Most folks would say that's the best Spider-Man movie ever.
Right.
When I look back at that movie, I do love that movie, and it has always been my favorite Spider-Man movie. Because of Doc Ock being badass and the fight with Spider-Man on the train, on the building. Also, the video game included. Mm-hmm. Right. I think both of those go hand in hand and they made that movie so great. But when I thought about like what Spider-Man is like from the comics and like this is Spider-Man that just feels like Peter Parker Spider-Man, it was a different movie to me. I don't think Spider-Man 2, Tobey Maguire, catches that Spider-Man side. It catches the badass fight between Doc Ock, and they did a great job. But The Amazing Spider-Man 2 that you shat on earlier is my favorite Spider-Man movie.
Really?
Because it, like, Andrew Garfield peaked at, like, understanding, like, comic book quippy Spider-Man. Like, I just loved that movie. Mm. It was the most emotional Spider-Man, I think, of all of them. Like, every time I watch that movie, I always get teared up for like two different times. Like, when obviously Gwen Stacy dies, like that was crushing. And then when he like is going to the, and it keeps showing him in the seasons at the cemetery, like that was heartbreaking. And just the Spider-Man that he played in that. I know a lot of people hate the movie because Electro was weird. I actually didn't mind Electro in it.
I don't want to yuck your yum. I think that movie has a villain problem all around.
Mm. Yeah, I really did not like the how they shoehorned the Green Goblin in. He didn't need to be in the movie. I felt like that was random and unnecessary. But taking that into account or taking that out of the account and just looking strictly of like, the story I felt was great. The emotion behind it. We got a lot of Spider-Man and Andrew Garfield just is fucking awesome. There's a shit ton of chemistry between him and Emma Stone in that movie.
Well, like, they were banging, so.
They were banging, so it makes sense. But, like, I don't know. I just like that. If I'm like, I want to watch a Spider-Man movie, I'm probably going to put that one on. And then I'm going to put on Spider-Man 2. If I'm going to show my kids a Spider-Man movie, it's going to be Spider-Man 2 with Tobey Maguire. But like I said, I like Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man. And I'll say it, Amazing Spider-Man 2 is my number one Spider-Man movie of all time.
All right. I'm not going to yuck your yum, man. Good for you. Listen, I'll say this. Emma Stone's Gwen Stacy is better than either version of Mary Jane that we've gotten.
Yes.
She's definitely better than Bryce Dallas Howard's Gwen Stacy.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that.
God, right. It's very forgettable.
I forgot that she was in it.
Andrew Garfield's my favorite Spider-Man. I've said that. The big issue I think people have with him as Spider-Man is he's too cool as Peter Parker.
Yeah.
And I'm going to bring this up because Dez and I just watched No Way Home like Friday. Because he wanted to watch it. It's funny because he's the coolest Peter Parker of the three of them. The other two, they do a pretty good job being a dork.
Yeah.
He's the coolest. Without a doubt.
For sure.
In No Way Home, when those three are together, he's by far the biggest dork.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's like he had to be 40 years old before he could figure out that Peter Parker could be a dork.
Yeah. It's a good
which
point.
It's so bizarre because even as little screen time as he has as Spider-Man in No Way Home, right? Like just his interactions with Electro at the end of that movie, he is Spider-Man. Like he is the way Spider-Man should be on film. Yeah. And that's why Sony needs to die. But that movie does. I just feel like that movie has a villain problem because like Jamie Foxx's design as Electro is bizarre.
Yeah,
and they completely changed it. And it's more comic book accurate.
Yeah.
In No Way Home. Dane DeHaan was terrible as Green Goblin. And then Paul Giamatti.
Oh, God. Fucking remind me. Stop hating on my movie. That's. but I will say, like, I know people hated that Jamie Foxx Electro. For whatever reason, I don't know why I enjoyed it, but maybe like I know like the auto tune or whatever the like synth wave music they played for his theme I thought was cool. I don't know. I enjoyed him.
I think I told you this the last time I watched that movie because it wasn't that long ago. It's not a bad movie.
Mm.
I just think it's weak compared to some of the other entries. That's all.
Yeah, I'm glad. Hey, man, I'm glad
you like it. I'm glad you like it. Anyway, so the show, by the way, the show is called Spider-Man Freshman Year.
Oh, cool.
The series is supposed to come out this year. And dope. Then they've already announced that they're going to do a sequel series called, guess, Sophomore Year. They retitled it. Never mind. Here, I'm going to keep reading. It was announced the series has been retitled from Spider-Man Freshman Year to Your Friendly Neighborhood
Spider-Man.
There it is, right there.
What?
I know, right? Anyway,
November release.
Yeah, that'll be good. I mean, if we get X-Men in the first half of the year, we get Spider-Man in the back half. Maybe we'll get Batman sometime soon, too. Anyway, all right.
I love it.
My top five Spider-Man movies. Because we originally were going to do Sony superhero movies, but they ended up all being Spider-Man movies anyway.
Yeah.
So let's just call it Spider-Man.
That the Fox X-Men movies were a part of the Sony, and that was not right. So never mind.
I did originally when it was just Sony. I had honorable mentions. I had Hellboy and Hellboy 2, just because. But
nice. I was looking forward to talking about the Will Smith superhero movie. Fuck.
Oh, Hancock.
Fuck. I fucking love that movie. Hancock was fucking awesome.
I'm glad
you
liked it.
Don't judge me. You didn't like it.
I liked the first half of that movie. I hated the second half. When you found out what the fucking plot was, I was like,
"There was something cool about like this, like drunk, like this superhero that's falling off and not knowing what was going on."
And then it was like they're both superheroes and they get close to each other. And
when the wife turns into a hero, I agree.
Get out.
It's kind of lame.
All right, my top five Spider-Man movies. At number four, I had The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield.
Nice.
At number five. I had The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. Again, I wanted to include him on this list. I liked the first one better than the second one. I thought they did a good job with it. He's my favorite Spider-Man. I liked having the Lizard as a bad guy. I wasn't a big fan of the character design. I wanted him to more have that like long, almost like raptor shaped face, more terrifying. He just kind of looked too human almost.
He looked like the bad guy from one of the Goombas or whatever from Super Mario. Yeah,
he does look like just a big-headed Goomba from the shit Mario movie. So I wasn't a huge fan. I did like I always get his name wrong, but Ricey Fans, who's played the Lizard. I like him as an actor. He's a kicker in The Replacements. He's wiry.
Wiry.
So I had Amazing Spider-Man at number five. And number four, I had the original Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. Origin story. I loved Tobey Maguire's Spider-Man. I still think that Green Goblin, Willem Dafoe, is tremendous as Green Goblin. I was so glad they kind of brought him back as the main villain in No Way Home because he plays crazy. I liked Franco as Harry. I thought he did a good job.
Yeah.
Especially in the first and second one. I thought those were really good movies. And number four? Number three, I had Spider-Man 2. Not number three.
Which one?
Spider-Man 2, the Doc Ock, Alfred Molina.
Number three?
Yeah, number three.
Wow.
So that's at number three.
Where is this going? Tell me everything.
I had that at number three. Again, like you said, it's widely considered one of the greatest superhero movies of all time, and I think rightfully so. Alfred Molina is like one of the last people you would think that would play a comic book villain, but he does such a great job as Dr. Octopus.
He's so fucking good.
Tobey Maguire's great in that movie. Kirsten Dunst is a lot better in that movie than she is in the first one. Again, the like you said, the fight scene on the train, it's a great superhero movie. Great ending, good redemption arc for the bad guy at the end kind of thing. It's one of those rare movies too where like, you know, people find out that he's Spider-Man. Like Mary Jane finds out he's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Harry finds out he's Spider-Man, like and what that all means. And it's you know, that's pretty wild. So it's a great movie. And then at number two, I had Spider-Man No Way Home.
Oh.
At number two.
Nice.
I think my thing with No Way Home is it we got all three of them in a movie. As much as it's Tom Holland's movie, it really was. It was great as an older adult being able to see all these Spider-Men on the screen at the same time and all do their Spider-Maning superheroing around the Statue of Liberty at the end. It's the closest thing we've had to a Sinister Six movie.
Great
which
point.
Which is cool. And I like, again, I said, I think like the version of Electro you get in that is so much better than what we had before.
They retconned him a bit.
Yeah. Sandman almost isn't a bad guy in it. He kind of like he is at the end of Spider-Man 3. He kind of goes back to that. You get Doc Ock gets freaking fixed and he's basically helps him out at the end.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Lizard's in it. He kind of feels thrown away. He's like an afterthought in it. And I guess it was just kind of the way they wrote it with him in it again. And then Willem Dafoe came back as Green Goblin with a freaking vengeance in that movie. He's so good. He like just the fight scenes, like the fight scene in the apartment building with Tom Holland, like where they're bashing each other through the floor and they're doing all these flips, or that part where Tom Holland's like up on him and he's just punching him in the face and he's taking the shots and he turns and he just smiled and he's just eating them, and it's awesome. I love that movie.
I really like that they added the purple hood. The way they did that was just such a nice little way to get
made it more look green, more comic booky. And I like the ending of that movie. The only things I don't like about that movie is I don't like all the Doctor Strange stuff. I just
agreed.
But I get it kind of had to drive the plot.
Yeah.
So I like how they used him to drive the plot to bring all these Spider-Man characters into this movie. And then basically Spider-Man gets rid of him, which is cool. And then he pops up back at the end to seal the deal, right? Which I thought was great. Anyway, it's my favorite live action Spider-Man. And I think it's because we got all these people in one. And then my number one is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Okay.
It came out last year. I mean, I think I've said it before. If I went back and I got to review that movie again, I would give it a 10.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the greatest animated movies I've ever seen. It's definitely the greatest animated superhero movie I've ever seen. I'm surprised it's not winning all the animated movie awards, even though it is nominated, but
shocking. It's crazy.
I haven't seen The Boy and the Heron, so that must be really good because that's winning them all.
When we were talking about it, like, fuck, I remember thinking, like, this could be in the running for, like, movie of the year, like, best film, not just best animated film.
It's so good. And the fact that it's the middle part in a three-part story, it's just... And all the characters in that movie, the way that they had so many freaking characters, all these different spider people in this movie, and how they all work.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite movies of the year. I think I had it at number one when we did favorites of the year early on.
Yeah.
Obviously, at that point, I hadn't seen The Holdovers yet, but
think there's a whole generation of kids that, like, that's their Spider-Man. Like, that... Miles Morales is who, when they hear Spider-Man, like, that's who they think it is, which is true. And in the comics more recently, like, you know, over the last 7 years, we've known that there's two versions of Spider-Man, but that movie really, like, took him to a whole nother stratosphere and made that character fucking cool.
And you and I've talked about it. I wasn't a huge fan of the first one. I thought it was a good movie. I didn't think it was tremendous. I didn't think it was like this end all be all like you did. And that's why it's not on my list, but because I haven't really rewatched that much. I've watched it a couple times. It's good. I don't love it.
Yeah.
I don't know why I think the new one's so much better. I just do. But
I mean, it is. It's it is. It's like when we talked about it previously, the first movie I felt was like, holy shit, I'm watching like a comic book. If it was a movie, this is what it would look like. And then the second one like took that again to a whole nother level.
Yeah. And the second one does such a good job in all the different worlds of making them look like different comics too. Different art styles and everything. Oh, it's so
like,
freaking good.
Like the Renaissance vulture at the beginning was cool.
Even the beginning where you're in Gwen's world and everything's like,
it's like softer,
softer tone. Yeah. It's watercolor. It's softer tones. It's pastels. It's just totally different. I love it. That's such a great movie. Anyway, that's my,
love that as your list. Number one. Love that as your number one. I will say that I actually think that is a better movie overall, just in general, than three of the Spider-Mans on my list. But I, like I said, when I was picking, I was just strictly like, all right, if I'm going to watch a Spider-Man movie, like which one was Peter Parker, Mary Jane, Gwen Stacy? But love that.
I mean,
we had some differences.
If you think about since the Andrew Garfield movies, like, and that's been over 10 years, right? Like it's been like 12 years since the last one came out.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. But if you think about that, like the only good thing that Sony Spider-Verse has put out are the two animated movies. That's it.
Yeah.
I mean,
how do they do so well with that? But
I don't mind Venom. It should have been R-rated. They made him look like Venom without ever touching a Spider-Man suit, which is harsh shit.
He never did any Venom Spider-Man swinging through the city that we would get just like a normal Spider-Man thing.
And they teased it in the post-credit thing in No Way Home. Like that might happen. Will it? I don't fucking know, man, at this point. Whatever.
I think if we were watching a movie like... If in Deadpool and Wolverine, randomly Tom Holland shows up as Spider-Man, and then randomly Tom Hardy, Venom, is there, and they fight each other, Like, I think the crowd goes wild.
If they do that, when we leave, we're going to get tickets again, and we're going to go right back in and watch
it. Yeah, we're going to watch it again.
We're going to watch it again.
This close to being able to hit a grand slam.
I know. So people already, have you heard like all the like conspiracy theories and shit? Like, we're going to see Dr. Doom in this movie, apparently.
I haven't,
like,
that's I haven't seen or looked into him yet.
The patch Wolverine that's sitting at the table that you don't see his face, everybody's convinced it's fucking Daniel Radcliffe.
Oh my God.
Because everybody thinks he's yeah, and then everybody thinks we're gonna get the Channing Tatum Gambit that we were supposed to get.
Oh yeah, fuck.
So,
they're probably gonna really lean into all of that.
I think they are because they remember when No Way Home and they talked about how it was gonna have multiverse, and then everybody was like, they're gonna have Toby, they're gonna have Andrew back, and they were like, nope, none of that's not happening. Then remember, like every interview they did, they were like, I'm not in it. I'm sorry to tell you, it's just not happening.
Yep.
Josh Brolin did an interview the other day. And I don't remember what it was for, but they said, hey, did you see the new Deadpool trailer came out? So is Cable coming back or what? And he said, maybe.
Damn it.
That's all he did. Maybe. Which probably means yes, but just the way he said it.
I need to watch that second one again. It's been a while, but he was fucking cool as Cable.
Watch both of them. Like, that's a two part. You just can watch them back to back, and they're just both. I don't know. Part of me likes the first one better because of the lower budget and the smaller setting. And then they kind of just like they do with any time something makes money and they make a sequel, they just make it so much freaking bigger.
Yeah. But that's a really good point.
I do like that first one just because it's the kind of lower level. He's just killing tons of people just trying to find.
It was their opus, magnum opus. We don't think we're going to be able to make any more, small and contained. Lower budget, but fucking comic book badass, and it was awesome. And like you said, they said, okay, do that again, but here's a ton of money, and also make it a little bit more accessible to the general audience. So I agree with that.
Anyway, that takes us to the end of episode 37 of the Movie Dads podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, click that like and subscribe. Make sure you hit that bell. Leave us a comment. If you're not watching us on YouTube, you can find us on different podcast networks such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts, Podcast Index. See some of our short clips and videos on social media at Movie Dads Pod on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok. We are back next week with episode 38, the You Need to See This Movie. As we prepare for the upcoming release of Dune 2 next week, we're going to watch Kyle's favorite movie of all time? Blade Runner 2049.
Let's go. Finally, this movie's going to get the love and attention that it deserves.
Kyle, we're going to go. You're going to give a movie a 1 this week, and then next week you're going to give a movie a golden 11.
Fucking golden 45. I cannot fucking wait. Also, folks, we're going to be on the ROAD in the next couple weeks at Comic-Con in Kansas City. So
Kansas City's PlanetCon, March 8th through 10th.
Yeah, so come out, check us out, meet us. We're going to maybe have some cool little items for you. We should have some good content from it. So
it'll be a fun trip.
I'm excited for it.
Anyway, that's the end. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And we will see you next week.
Bye.